Brought the pulpit down here this morning because even though Richard's an extremely successful businessman, even though he speaks around the world, even though when he goes around the community, and I spent time with him yesterday, he prays for people and the power and the presence of a loving God turns up. He's a very humble, relatable man. And I don't want you to look at this man this morning and say, well, I wish I carried that anointing. I want you to listen to the revelation he's received and recognize you can live like this too. So he's down with us. He's one of us. He's very easy to listen to and understand. And I really believe as we listen to Mr. Brunton, our faith's going to increase. If your heart's open, it'll increase. I was going to pray this morning that our hearts would be teachable, but the Holy Spirit would come. And I recognize in the atmosphere right at the start of the service, hearts already open. We're already teachable. So we just agree with what Adrian's prayed, that the Holy Spirit would come. He'd have his way in our midst. Welcome, Richard. We appreciate your ministry, sir.
Thank you. Well, he is here, isn't he? I mean, he's here. And in some ways, it's quite a fearful thing to stand here and speak on his behalf. And we had a great time yesterday. And I had a lovely breakfast this morning at your quayside. I found a place called Serenity. And I had some very nice bacon and eggs and hash browns. And it's just a lovely spot, isn't it? And so I was trying to speak to the Lord this morning, and I said to him, what suggestions, Lord, do you have for today? And he said, love my people, Richard. Empower them. And that's the thing. Empower them. And that's what I want to happen today, is that you feel empowered to go beyond what you're used to and to be full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And I said to the Lord, I'd like to see more physical healings, Lord. And he said, okay. That was it. Just okay. It's just like God, really. Just surprising. Okay. And I just felt this joy come over me when he said that. Okay. And I think he said arthritis. I'm not totally sure, but I think he said arthritis. And I thought, oh no, Lord, there's going to be so many people here with arthritis. How many people are there here actually with arthritic pain? Well, look at that. There's so many hands, but we might have to. What shall I do about that? Bless them where they are. I think you did right. So, if you've got arthritic pain in your body, would you stand? Actually, would you stand, please? Would you stand? Goodness gracious me, see? Gets me into trouble. So here we go. Just close your eyes, just open your hands like this here. The Holy Spirit responds to honor and humility and hunger. So Lord, we humble ourselves here now. Come Holy Spirit. Come as tongues of fire, Lord, on each man and woman standing, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. You're here, Lord. I know you're here. Let your power fall, Lord. Let your love and your power fall. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that spirit of arthritis, that demonic thing, you detestable thing. I bind your power now in the name of Jesus. And I break your power in the name of Jesus. And I command you to come out of these bodies right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I release the healing power of the risen Lord. I release healing in the name of Jesus. I command all pain to go. I command all inflammation to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, what a way to start the thing, eh? So actually, I want to talk to you about the power of blessing. And, you know, I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and I've made this discovery about the power of blessing, and it's really just changed my life. It's become a lifestyle. It's changed how I do Christianity, actually. And I bless people most days, believers, unbelievers, in cafes and restaurants, hotels, airports, waiting rooms, and so on. And I've blessed the barristers and the coffee thing over there at New World, orphans in Kenya, air hostesses on long distance flights, orchards, chooks, cows, dentists, hairdressers, wallets and businesses. I've even blessed some barren wombs, and children have come forth at the appropriate time, of course. And I've had grown men and women weeping on my chest as I proclaimed a father's blessing over them. It's just awesome. And I know that it's changed the lives of tens of thousands of others as well. That little blessing book out there, there's actually 33,000 of those sold here in New Zealand. And in total, there's 215,000. Can you believe it? 215,000 around the world. And I get testimonies from all over the place about people who've been blessed and people who have become blessors. And I even got an email from a school teacher the other day who had a school in a quite poor, low-decile area. And there are a lot of boys there, a lot of kids there without fathers. And they caused a lot of havoc in his classroom. And he decided, I'll go in there early. He read this little book, you see, and he thought, I'll go in there early and I'll bless the class, or I'll bless the classroom. And he sent me an email saying he couldn't believe really how rapidly the whole class turned around. Just amazing. That's what blessing can do. And I don't know what he said. He might have said something like this. He might have said, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Holy Spirit, come. I release the kingdom of God in this classroom. It might have been something like that, something quite simple. I release love and joy and peace and so on. But there you are. And so I consider blessing to be a power ministry that sits alongside healing and deliverance. And perhaps the thing that's really made a big difference is that as you open your heart out towards others, the presence and power, the anointing of God comes. And you feel this flow of love come out through you to others. And blessing does that when you lay your hands on somebody or take them by the hands. As you open your heart out to them, as you're releasing God's love and power over them, you will experience the anointing. And once you experience the anointing, it's so easy then just to say, is there any sickness in your body? And if they say yes, you can just command that condition to go in the name of Jesus and release healing. It's a beautiful thing and a very natural kind of thing to do. So it's a simple way of the average Christian coming into the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and anyone can do it. You just need a mouth, which is not a big requirement, right? Okay. And this started this whole, actually another thing too, it can be a great evangelistic tool because not everyone responds if you say, may I pray for you? A lot of people are a bit not sure about that, but may I bless you? Well, everyone wants a blessing, so it can be a great way of opening up a conversation. And all this revelation, if you like, it started in New Caledonia. I married a New Caledonian about 10 years ago. It's a French territory. And I was giving a teaching on curses because there's a lot of witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of it in the islands, as you probably know. And I thought, I'm going to give a teaching on curses. And I discovered that the French word for cursing is malediction, and the French word for blessing is benediction. Now, I'd never really seen it like that before, but seeing the juxtaposition, that's a big word, isn't it? The juxtaposition of those two words. And I realized that, well, first of all, I realized that benediction was actually good. Beni is good and diction is speaking. That benediction, the root of it, was really good speaking. And it's not good thinking, it's good speaking. You've actually got to speak a blessing. It's not much, you can't really think a blessing, you've got to speak a blessing, you've got to speak it out over somebody. And to see, and malediction, or malediction en français, or malediction in English, is that mal is bad and diction is speaking. So this root of this cursing thing was actually bad speaking. And I said to myself, you know, if bad speaking is powerful, and it is, you know, in some cultures, a curse can kill you. If you're not a Christian, you've got no defense against it, really. It'll kill you, or it'll make you sick, or something like that. Something bad will happen. So I'd seen cursing as being this high impact, very bad thing. And I'd seen blessing by comparison as being a light, fluffy sort of thing by comparison, because someone sneezes, you say, bless you. And I'd never seen or heard a sermon on blessing. And I'd never seen anyone bless anyone with intention and impact. So I said to myself, surely if bad speaking is powerful, then good speaking should be at least as powerful, and with God, even more powerful. So that really was as simple as that. And so I pursued that there to see where it would go. And we know, don't we, that we speak words of life or we speak words of death. The Bible tells us that. And this is true whether you're a Christian or not. You know, a non-Christian or a Christian can say, you useless fellow. I'm not pointing at anyone. You useless fellow. You will never amount to anyone. You'll never amount to anything. Or I can say, son, that is a clever little hut you've built in the backyard. You could be a great architect one day. Or darling, that's a lovely painting you've done. You could be a great artist one day. And you've spoken words of life, the words of death, words of life. But if you are, and you see what the witch doctor is doing, he's speaking words of death, but he's speaking words with a power of Satan behind them, which is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But a Christian can speak God's intentions and favor over people. And you know, Christ lives in us. If you're a born-again Christian, Christ lives in you, and we are his hands. These are his hands. Hold your hands up. These are his hands. And these are his feet, and this is his mouth. Okay? Or it can be his mouth. If we're trustworthy with our mouth, it can be his mouth. And so when a Christian speaks, who's disciplined with his mouth, and he or she speaks God's intentions or favor over people, then the king, it's like Jesus is speaking, and the kingdom of heaven will swing in behind to perform what we say. So you see, a Christian has got extraordinary power in their mouth. As I said, if you've got a disciplined mouth, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment, but we're meant to create with our words. God creates with his words. We're meant to create with our words. We're meant to speak to mountains. Not physical mountains, of course, but we're meant to speak to them, or big obstacles or big issues. But what most of us do is we rehearse the mountain. We tell God all about the mountain, and we ask God to move the mountain. But God is actually saying, why are you asking me to move the mountain when I've told you and I've authorized you to move the mountain? So it's time that we started to take more responsibility for things. We have this privilege and this responsibility of engaging and intervening and speaking blessing. And actually, what we're really doing is releasing the kingdom. So you see, we're authorized and empowered to release God's love and power in all the situations of our lives and in others' lives. I mean, it really is as simple as that. Now, there's a few extra things to know. I'm saying that blessing is speaking God's intentions or favor over someone or some situation. And when we do that, simply we release God into the situation. We release God's love and power into the situation to move it from where it is now to where he wants it to be. I think this is just extraordinary. I think it's just amazing. And it's just changed how I see God. It changes how I see myself. And, you know, we do this in love because there's no, you know, faith works through love. There's no real power without love. Faith is energized by love. We do it in faith. We do it out of our spirit-filled spirit. And we do it intentionally. Like, I don't do fluffy blessings anymore. I'm serious when I bless somebody. I'm very intentional about it. And I liken it to drawing a bow and arrow. Like, you aim, and first of all, you imagine that the arrow is the blessing. And I'm actually I'm aiming the blessing at somebody. But then what I do is I release the blessing like that. I release it. I'm not throwing it at somebody. I'm releasing it. And it's very important just to get clarity around this. It's God who is doing the blessing, okay. God has got the power. He's got the grunt. But I am releasing it, okay. I'm aiming it, and and when I speak it, I release it. And sometimes if I'm blessing somebody in another country, I see that arrow flying across the Pacific, landing somewhere in the heart of someone in the US, and I actually say, okay, it's landed, you've got it. Like I'm that intentional about it, and it works. Okay. So just to... Now you might say to me, well, how do I know what God's intentions are? Well, his general intentions are clear in his word. If you're worried and you're anxious, he wants you to know his peace. If you're sad and you're depressed, he wants to turn mourning into dancing. He wants you to know his joy. It's very clear. You can see this in his word. If you're sick, he wants you well. Not one time did Jesus ever say, no, 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 it's better that you suffer, actually. He healed every single person who came to him. So we know what his will is. We know what his intentions are. And when you start to bless somebody in the general, like I've just been saying, very often a flow will start and you'll enter into the prophetic. God will give you something more specific for that person. It takes practice, but it will come. So here's some important principles to do this well. So I'm going to do these four principles. Then I'm going to give an example of a good and bad blessing, and then we're going to do it by the different types of occasions. Like, how do you bless someone who curses you? How do you bless your family? How do you bless yourself? This kind of thing. Okay, that's the structure of this talk. So these are the things that I've teased out. And the first one is to make a clean mouth a lifestyle. And, you know, Isaiah, for example, he has an encounter with God. And what happens? He says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So God wanted to use Isaiah to speak to his people. He wanted Isaiah to speak his intentions, if you like, over Israel. But he had to cleanse his lips. And some seraphim fella comes and puts a coal on his lips to do that. And then we see that also in Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah, if you will utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. That's a condition for being the mouth of God. If you want to speak to cancer and curse it and have it shrivel up and die, then you want to develop the practice of speaking what is precious and not what is worthless. That's how I see it. And Jesus actually said, you will be accountable for every worthless, valueless word that you say. So I'm not just talking about swearing. I'm talking about gossip, if you like, or just worthless conversation. It's big, isn't it? And James said, by the way, that cursing and blessing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. And when you think about it, if God puts power in your mouth, what would happen if you said, look at that silly fellow on the bike over there, he's going to crash and break his neck. And he would crash and break his neck, wouldn't he? God has to be able to trust our mouths. Well, that's how I see it. It makes sense to me. So I'm very, very careful now about what comes out of my mouth. I am a work in progress, and sometimes something will slip out. but I really try, you know. Another important thing is not to judge whether someone deserves a blessing or not. And it's very easy to do that and to give God counsel about somebody. But that's not God's style. God's style, God knows our sins, but he always calls forth the gold, doesn't he? With Gideon, he said, mighty man of valor, when he wasn't. He called Peter a rock when he wasn't. So we need to have that same attitude. And then the The next one is really, this is where the gold is. Well, by the way, Satan does the opposite. He knows our gold, but he calls us by our sins. He's an accuser, condemning all the time. So here's the big one. Most of us, when we are going to bless somebody, we're going to say, God bless so-and-so. It's a very hard habit to break. And I do want you to break it, or at least to give it a go, okay? Instead of asking God to bless someone, I want you to actually do it. I want you to say, so-and-so, I bless you in the name of Jesus, or in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the way that I fell into this was really a bit by accident, because I used to go into my business early. I started this some years ago, to go into my business early with the intention of blessing it. And in the beginning, I would say, God bless Colmar Brunton. That was the name of the company. God bless Colmar Brunton. And I'd go around, walking all around, saying some other good things. But it always felt quite flat. And then one day I changed. And I don't even remember what provoked the change. But it was a very important change. And I said, Colmar Brunton, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, I did it like that. And I walked all around. And now the moment I did that, the anointing fell on me. It was like warm honey being poured on me. And it's like God was saying to me, yes, son, you've got it. That's what I want you to do. In other words, God wants us to walk in spiritual authority. You know, and you might say, well, is there any evidence for that in the Bible? Well, you see, Jesus said, bless those who curse you. He didn't say, ask my Father to bless those who curse you. He said, you do it. Jesus said, I want you to heal the sick in my name. He didn't say, ask my Father to heal the sick. He says, you do it. Use your authority. I'll give you authority. I'll give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Go and heal people in my name. And it's the same with casting out a demon. You speak to the demon in the name of... You don't ask the Father to speak to the demon. You speak to the demon in the name of Jesus and you command it to go. And so it's the same principle with blessing. And if you do this, you will find it makes a huge difference. You will begin to feel the anointing. You'll begin to feel empowered. You activate the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do this in just a moment. Just I want you to sort of feel it. Now, there's a couple of conditions about this authority. And I just need to say this. We only have authority if we are under authority. If we're rebels, we won't. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, says the Lord. And I make sure, you know, I didn't used to always be like this. I used to be a bit of a loner. But I have put myself under authority. So when it comes to my church, I'm under the authority of the pastor. End of story. When I travel overseas with Pastor Jeff Wickland, I'm under his authority. When I'm at Charisma Christian Ministries, I'm under the authority of Pastor Reverend Brian France. And that's the way that I work. We need to be under authority. And I just say that. But if you are under authority, then you have authority. That's the way the kingdom works. Am I right? I am right, aren't I? So let's just do an example then of a good and bad blessing. So here's the bad blessing. God bless Fred. Make him give up drinking and make him listen to me. So what's wrong with that is that we have delegated the problem to God. God, you do it. There's no thought in it. It's not specific. There's no skin in the game. It hasn't cost you anything. God bless Fred. It's a bit lazy, actually, or ignorant, or both. It's also focused on Fred's dirt. It focuses on his deer. It's focused on his dirt. And it should be focused on his gold. It should be focused on drawing out his gold, not wallowing around in his dirt. It's also whining and judgmental. And God hates complaining. He really does. He hates complaining. It repels the kingdom of God. Whereas thankfulness attracts the kingdom of God. So a much better blessing would be to say, Fred, I bless you and our marriage in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May all of God's plans and purposes for your life come to pass. May you become the man of God, the husband and the father that God always purposed for you to be. I break the power of addiction in your life in the name of Jesus. I release the peace of Christ in your life. You see, I break, I release, I bless. We're moving in authority. We're using strong verbs. You know, you see the difference. Now, I'd just like you to get a taste of this, all right? So would you just follow me in this here? I bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May all of God's plans and purposes for your life come to pass. I release your love and power in all the circumstances of your life. I bless you to know the love of Christ in a personal experiential way. Way beyond what you've ever known before. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't it feel good just to say that? You know, you're activating the Holy Spirit. You're beginning to move in authority and you're stirring up the Spirit. And if we had more time, I'd get you to lay hands on each other and feel the difference, what it's like to be on the receiving end as well as what it's like to be on the giving end. But I just say again, when you open up your heart towards others, the anointing comes, the presence and power of God comes, and there's this flow of love that goes out. It's just amazing. It's amazing. It's so cool. Okay, so having got this far, I realized quite soon that there are a lot of different situations. And the most common one, I suppose, is how do you bless those who have cursed you, or they have reviled you, or they have hurt you or provoked you in some way, insulted you, made fun of you, humiliated you, betrayed you, whatever it, abandoned you, whatever it is that they have done, because our response as humans is a bit revengeful, I think. And how do we bless people in those circumstances? And the other situation that is so common is that we actually curse ourselves. We speak negative words, or we speak lies over ourselves without even being aware of it. And then there's how do you bless your home, how do you bless your marriage, your spouse, your children, your workplace, your community, and if you're a farmer, bless the land. And even how to bless the Lord. Now, we can't do all of those, but we'll get a few of the biggies done, okay? So to take an example, a woman comes up for prayer. Her husband's left her. This is a bad situation. She's suffering, she's hurting emotionally and financially, and she comes up for prayer. And I say to her, can you forgive your husband? Anyway, she forgives her husband. Good on her. Can you bless him? Oh, is that a step too far? Can you bless your husband? But I'm not talking about blessing him with a new wife and a new boat and a new car and that kind of thing. I'm talking about the same kind of thing we just did. I bless my husband. May he become the man that God, that you always purpose for him to be, the husband, the father, that kind of blessing. And she did this, you know, this brave woman. And as she did that, the Spirit of God just fell on her. I will never forget it. And I got in the way, so I got it as well. And we just cried and cried and cried right in front of the congregation. And there is something so majestic and so Christ-like about forgiving the undeserving. And you know, forgiveness really takes you from overdraft to zero. But blessing goes another stage. Blessing actually puts something in the tank. And bless those who curse you. You know what it does? There are three effects. Well, actually, I'll give you another example, which is a bit less serious. And I told this yesterday, but I still love it. I think it's so funny. Well, I think it's funny. And the Auckland traffic is really bad. And I can get provoked. I used to get provoked. Actually, I still do get a bit provoked. But the old, but how you respond, you see, that's the thing. And the you know, I'm doing 80 k's and the correct speed limit in this area, and someone goes past, you know, I don't know, maybe 120 k's, whatever it is, and part of me wants to call one of God's creation an un-Christian name, you see. Or maybe my fingers want to give an inappropriate gesture. But that was the old Richard, you see. The new Richard says, I bless the driver of that car in the name of Jesus. May the love of God pursue him and overtake him and arrest him in Jesus' name. See? And I love doing that, you know. And there are three really, really good things about it. And the first thing is that the love of God is actually traveling like an arrow to that guy. In fact, I could be the only person praying for that guy. And I have just, the love of God is chasing him. I've released God into his life. The second thing is I've cut off that toxic squirt of bitterness or resentment. And it is a toxic squirt. It will literally rot your bones. And that's what unforgiveness does. It rots your bones, or resentment does. Amertume is the word in French. And thirdly, 1 Peter, I think it's 3 or 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, don't return reviling for reviling or cursing for cursing, but instead bless. Because this is what you are called to do. You're called to bless. It's not my idea. It's there in the Bible. You are called to bless, and you will inherit a blessing. So every time you bless those who don't deserve it, you inherit a blessing. And I believe I get a life extension every time I bless somebody. I believe I get a deposit of life. I get a deposit of blessing anyway. And I find car parks just magically appear for me when I need them. Anyway, I get a deposit of blessing, okay? And so that's what happens when you do that. So then I said that we often curse ourselves. We say things like, I'm ugly, I'm dumb, I'm clumsy, I'm slow-witted, no one likes me. I'm a sinner. God could never use someone like me. And the list goes on. And these are lies. They're just not true. We've come into agreement with Satan. And I remember, again, another prayer situation where someone comes up for prayer, and in the course of prayer, she says, I'm dumb. And I said, where did you learn that? And she said, my parents said that I was dumb. So you see, her parents cursed her. They must have said it quite a few times, I would say. But effectively, the parents cursed her. They spoke, it was a word curse spoken over her. She agreed with it. She probably did become dumb because you call forth what you say. That's a big thought, isn't it? You call forth what you say. And so I said to her, follow me in prayer. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my parents and myself for those words spoken over me. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of those words spoken over me. I break their power in Jesus' name. And it was broken. The face started to light up. And a week later when I saw her, she was a different person. And then I blessed her. You see, not only did I break the curse over her, but I blessed her. I said, you have the mind of Christ. Don't tell me you're dumb. You have the mind of Christ. How can you possibly be known? And on top of that, you're a princess. And I told her a few other truths over her. You see, the interesting thing about this is this. In a hierarchical sense, we are seated with Christ in spiritual authority, and the devil is under our feet. Jesus has shrunk the devil, if you like. We are seated up here in spiritual authority, and the devil's down there. He's a defeated foe. He's a created being in the first place, but not only is he a created being, but he's a defeated being. However, so we have authority. However, the only authority that he has is the authority that we give him. And when we don't forgive somebody, he has authority to torment us. And when we agree with the fact, if when we say I'm dumb, we are actually agreeing with his lies. and we become, or we limit our potential in Christ. I like to bless myself. Yeah, well, why not? If I can curse myself, I can bless myself. And I bless my mouth because I want to speak to cancer and have it shrivel up and die. I want to speak. I want my mouth to be as God's mouth. And you know, we do some dumb things sometimes. We say, I get a cold every year. I get the flu every year. You can put a ring around it. Every year I get a flu. And, well, you know what we've just done, don't you? Yeah. And so I don't say things like that. But I say the opposite. I bless my mind. Because I'm not happy with all of my thoughts, you know. And I think most of us would admit that. But I bless my mind to be a holy place. Because I want to receive words of knowledge. I want to receive words of wisdom. I want to hear from God more and more clearly. I want to think His thoughts. And I bless my imagination. We can waste our imagination. I read one of Frank Hammond's books. He's written a lot about deliverance. And he says there's a demon of memory recall. Now, that would not surprise me at all. Where the past can keep coming up and up and up in all kinds of ways. So I don't want to waste my imagination on worthless things. And I bless my body. I discovered the other day, I read a book by Dr. Masaru Emoto called Messages from Water. He was a microbiologist. And to cut a long story short, he would freeze water so that he could examine its molecular structure. It had sample A and sample B. Sample A he blessed, sample B he cursed. And the sample that he cursed, the molecular structure became distorted and ugly. And we are 70% water. So I think it's a good idea to bless my body. And I regularly bless my body and my physical well-being. And Okay, bless your wife, your marriage, your home. We have the kind of marriage we bless or we have the kind of marriage we curse. That's quite a scary statement, isn't it? You know, husbands and wives, we know each other so well. We know all the hot buttons. You never listen. Your memory's terrible. You can't cook. You're hopeless at dot, 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 fill in the gap. These things, if they're said often enough, are curses. And we actually call them forth. When we say to someone, your memory is terrible, and you say it enough times, it's going to happen. It's going to happen that way. And we need to look for the gold, not the dirt. And men respond very well to praise, ladies. I imagine it's the other way around as well, but we really do. And I think that when you draw the gold out in people, the dirt starts to fade away all by itself. So I say to my wife, I say, I love you, Nicole. You know, this is a blessing. You know, if blessing is good speaking, then to say I love you is just a blessing just by itself. But I love you, Nicole. You're special. So glad you're my wife. So glad you're the mother of my children. I bless your gift of showing hospitality, of making people feel at ease when they come round to my house. I'm proud of that. And I go on with other things, you know. But just to try, you know, if we had time now, I would get husbands to lay hands on your wife and bless her, and your wife to lay hands on the husband and bless her. And in fact, another good exercise too, by the way, is that cursing those who have, blessing those who have cursed you, to write down on the paper the people that you need to, maybe you've forgiven them or not, but comprise a blessing over them. Someone who's hurt you in the past, and maybe you've blessed them kind of reluctantly, not wholeheartedly, or maybe you haven't forgiven them at all. It's amazing to me how many people carrying grudges around, but actually bless them. That's a different story, but it will set you free in such a big way. Okay, blessing your home. I'm sure many of you do this. I bless our home in the name of Jesus. I consecrate this house to God and place it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I break every curse in this house etc., etc. And then come Holy Spirit. So the steps would be, I consecrate the house, I evict all the rubbish, all the spiritual rubbish out of the house, and I ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill the house. So however you do it, those would be the three things that we would do. And then blessing children. I wish, blessing children is so precious. And in that little book, I've got a blessing that I do for my step-grandchild. But you can bless children in many different ways. But the number of testimonies that I've had about parents blessing children and the effect of it and how fast it is just quite astounding. And you know, I just to recall a couple of instances to mind, or in fact, maybe three, but fathers on maybe a festive occasion of some kind, when the family's together, they've taken this to heart and they've actually blessed their adult children, you know, children who are 30, 40 years old, and they all break down in tears as because it's such a joyous thing. Did I say that right? but, you know, the love of God just comes. There's a spirit of reconciliation and just love comes out. And I remember travelling with a husband and wife in a car, and the wife was recounting the sins of their grandson who'd been kicked out of a Christian camp for bad behaviour. And I said, because she was telling me all these things, and I said, do you realise that you're actually cursing your grandson? What? Well, I said, you're imprisoning him with all this negative stuff. You're speaking over him. Why don't you try blessing him? So they blessed him, and he became one of the best kids in that camp after about a week or two. It was that fast. I know a pastor whose teenage kids, he'd take them to school and they'd fight in the car, niggling at each other. You know what it's like? It just changed instantly. There's power in blessing. I wish I could bless all the men in prison with the Father's blessing, which is what I'd like to do now. Would you let me bless you? I would love to bless you with a very special blessing. Because I have found that about 95% of people, Christian or not, have never actually had their fathers lay hands on them and bless them. And in my generation, my father laid hands on me, but it was not for blessing. But you know, there is something very special about a Christian father laying hands on his son or his daughter and blessing them. It is it's mandated in Scripture. I believe that there's a curse on people that have not had this blessing. You can see that in Malachi if you want to chase it down. It's God's way of releasing a lot of blessings is through the Father. And not only that there, but everyone needs to be affirmed by their fathers. You know, even Jesus needed to be affirmed by his Father. At his baptism, this is my beloved son. I'm proud of him. This is my boy. And Jesus hadn't done a sermon probably at that time. He certainly hadn't done a miracle. It was he hadn't done anything that he wasn't loved or affirmed because of his works, is what I'm trying to say. He was affirmed simply because he was a son. And we all need to hear that. And I'm amazed at the number of people who've never had their father even say, I love you. I never heard that. Maybe that's the reason I do this. But anyway, I would love to, what I do, and I've done this for thousands of people now, is I ask you to let me be an alternative gateway for that blessing. In other words, if you would let me be like a spiritual father, just for a moment, so that I can release a father's blessing over you. And if you'd like to do that, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and to open your hands to receive, because receiving is intentional as well. And I just want to stress the fact that I'm going to speak a blessing over you, but it is the presence and the work and the power and the love of the Holy Spirit that makes it that makes it all happen. So I speak the words, but the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and he's going to love on you, and he's going to bring healing on you. So I just want to acknowledge that and say, Holy Spirit, come. Come, beautiful Holy Spirit. Come upon each man and woman, Lord. It's your work, Lord. And we love you, Lord. So, Lord, let your love and your power begin to fall on these beautiful people. And now I'm going to speak to you like a father. I love you, my child. You're special. You're a gift from God to me. And I'm privileged to be your dad. I love you, and I'm proud of you. And now I bless you. I ask you to forgive me for the things I've said and done that have hurt you. And I ask you to forgive me for the things that I didn't do and I didn't say that have also hurt you. Please forgive me. And I bless you with the healing of all the wounds of your heart. The wound of rejection, abandonment, betrayal, shame, humiliation, disappointment, failure, divorce maybe a business failure. All the wounds of your heart now, Jesus, come. Run your ointment, Lord, over every wound. Thank you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of every word curse spoken over you. I break the power of every cruel and unjust word spoken over you. Break! In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bless you with overflowing peace. Peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. I bless you with fruitfulness, even in old age. Good fruit. Abundant fruit, fruit that lasts. I bless you with success in life. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I bless you with health and strength of body, soul, and spirit. I bless you to prosper, that you'd always have enough and more than enough, that you might be a blessing to others. I bless you to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world with spiritual influence. I bless you to see and draw out the golden people and not the dirt. If you're a man, I bless you to look at women the right way. And if you're a woman, I bless you to look at men with pure eyes. I bless you to release God in the workplace, not just with your good character and your testimony, but also with the excellence and the beauty and the creativity of your work, which honors God and gives you influence in the marketplace. And so I release over you now the same spirit of excellence that was in Daniel. I release it over you now in Jesus' name. I bless you with a depth of spiritual understanding and a closer walk with your Lord. You will not stumble nor falter, because the word of God is a light to your path and a lamp to your feet. I bless you to walk in spiritual authority, to release God's love and power in all the situations of your life, and to release God's love and power in the lives of others, to be a blessor. I bless you with good friends, and I bless you with abounding, overflowing love. And right now, I invite you to take a step forward on the count of three and to step into the love of the Father. Just take a small step forward when I say, one, two, three. Step into God's love. You are blessed, my child, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's probably a good place to finish. I don't know, we'd probably run out of time. But can I just say that in this book, there's a community blessing. And if we had loads of time, I get you to face, or some, a quarter of you to face the north, a quarter of you to face the south, a quarter the west, and a quarter the east, and just release that blessing over Whangarei. But we can't do everything in the time. But maybe that's something for the future. Okay? Thank you.
Next week when you come to church, it's our communion service and we're commissioning Pastor Peter Liu and Rosemary. So we won't have enough seats, so I just want you to get really cuddly and come really close. When you come to church, come further forward than what you normally would and sit closer to people than what you normally would for next week too. Richard Brunton is a man who just loves the Lord and the love of the Lord bubbles out of him. As I close this morning, if you'd like him just to bless you and pray for you, and I suspect that some people just want a father's hug as well, then you feel free to come forward and let him do that. As he's praying for people and blessing people, let's be really reverent and respectful in here. There'll be lovely coffee and tea out there in the cafe. We'd love you to join us for that too. Let me read to you this closing benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Bless you, my friends.